What's up, guys? What's going on, man? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devo, and we are continuing on our study in Genesis. And we are about to see one of the stories in the scriptures that everybody talks about. So get your Bibles ready, and let's get to studying. If you have not read Genesis 34, 22 through 32, then go ahead and 34, I'm sorry, Genesis 32, 22 through 32. And if you haven't checked it out already, go ahead and stop the tape, see what it has to say, because it's an amazing story, guys. And then come back and we'll discuss the questions. If you already have read it, man, let's not stop. Let's get it, man. Let's get it down. So what is actually going on in the story here? Well, Jacob, after he has sent all of these gifts ahead, then wakes up at night. I guess, I don't know what it is, but he just pops up at night and decides to send his family on their way as well. Maybe he thought, you know, set a little alarm clock or something. He's like, after this amount of time, it'll be safe enough to send my family forward, or whatever the case may be. He gets up in the middle of the night and he goes ahead and sends his family across what is the fords of Jabbok. And so they go ahead and they start following the convoy that's supposed to meet up with Esau later on. And he stays back, though. He himself stays in the background. I don't know why either. Is he, you know, when we trust in the Lord and we believe what he has to say, but sometimes we still fear, we still doubt. And so maybe that's what it was. Maybe he still got a little bit of old Jacob in him. Maybe he still got a little bit of that deceiver in him, that usurper in him. And so he sends his family ahead and he stays back because he's worried, he's scared. And he's like, I ain't doing it, man. He's like, I can't do it. He's like, I'm just gonna run away. Maybe that's his thoughts. But in this process of staying back, it says that he wrestles with a man. A man wrestles with him. And he just holds on to him, man, holds on to him tight. And then he just, the guy says to him, he says, hey, let me go, man. The sun is coming up. It's about to be dawn. The dawn is breaking. And he's like, man, I ain't letting you go until you bless me. So we already see something going on. He recognized that there's something different about this person. Wait, I'm sorry. I forgot the whole incident where he touches his thigh and he dislocates his thigh. He's wrestling with him and he says, you got to let me go. The dawn breaks. Or before he says that, he actually touches him in his side because the dawn is breaking. It's time for him to get out of here. And he touches him in that thigh. And it separates the joint. And then he says, let me go. He says, I can't, man, not till you bless me. I guess he realized with that touch in that thigh and that separation in that joint that there's something powerful about this man. And so the guy says, what's your name, bro? Not that he didn't know his name, but he asked him. He said, what's your name, bro? He says, my name's Jacob. He says, no longer are you called Jacob, but you'll be called Israel because you strive or struggle or wrestle with both God and man, and you have overcome, or you were able. And so Jacob's name has thus changed. And then he names the place. Because of this incident that's just happened, he calls this place Penuel. And what Penuel means, it means like the face of God. And he says he names it that because he saw God and he was delivered. He saw God and lived. He saw God face to face and lived. And then after that, it gives a little homage as to why the Israelites or the Hebrew people don't eat the sinew of the thigh. And it's because of this incident, there's a remembrance of this incident. Man, there's a lot of stuff here, man, that we can gather and take from it, man. And one thing I do want to take is that it wasn't because he saw God face to face that he recognized who he was. when he was wrestling with him, there was something going on. And I guess when he touched his thigh, then he knew that this man whom he is supposed to be wrestling with is powerful. And that's why he asked to bless him, because he named the place and called this place Penuel before the sun even came up. The dawn was coming, so it was breaking. He could begin to maybe see a little bit, but it wasn't because he saw the whole thing. It wasn't because he saw the image of God wrestling before him. And I believe this is something that goes with the idea of Jacob as well, waffling a little bit in his faith, but when he grabs hold of this man, when this man begins to wrestle with him and he says he won't let go, it was the crest. It was just a little bit that Jacob needed to push him over the edge to trust again. And I think that's the point of him naming this place before the sun was actually shining, to be able to see the face of God. It's because this interaction with God, this wrestling with God, it declared to him that God is still with him. It showed him that he is still with God. I also think that this naming incident is a powerful thing as well. It's a powerful thing, because who can name you? Whoever owns you. And that means that he's allowing God to take control fully over his life. That little bit of trust he had, which was growing and growing as we've seen the character of Jacob change throughout these chapters. But it was in this instance here that I think he fully gave over his life. Because there's something about a change in name. There's something about when a person in the scriptures has been called something new, then their life is new. I read a little bit in a commentary that says that this words combined together have a significant meaning of a changing of a life. And that it says, no longer shall you be called such and such, but you will be such and such. And so, but this way in which the writer presents the change of the name also cast a picture of the change in Jacob's heart as well. So what does this all say about God? We talked a little bit about what the scripture talks about and just how powerful it is to see a change in a person in this way. But what's this say about God? Well, I think what it says is that God is the one who blesses. You see, I think it's powerful. I think it's a powerful way to look at it when you see that he says, no longer are you this, but you are this. I think the reason this is happening, and before he leaves, it says he blesses him. I think the thing is that when he changes his name, it's also a realization. It's also a realization that he has already been blessed, because he's been given everything. He's been given the means to pay back Esau, his brother, as he goes. He's been given protection over his life as he is traveling this way, and as he traveled towards Pan Aram. He's been given food and drink and sustenance. He's been provided for in every way. And it's a recognition that he has been blessed. But now he has truly been blessed, because the blessing has come directly from God rather than from a stolen blessing. And so I think that is the person is that God is the only one who could do all these things. The reason he's blessing him is because he's already been blessing. But also that God is a possessor of all things. And when I say that, that's life, inanimate, animate, all things. By naming him, he also takes possession of him. Names are super important in the scriptures. They always mean something. But what is so essentially important is is that and what really kind of makes people mad sometimes is that you come over to America and claim it as your own, and then you name it. It's because you think you own it, you possess it. But seeing the sight of God, or in the right of God, or in the position of God, when he named something, is because it is his. He's the possessor and the owner of it. What does this say about man? I think it's a recognition. We need to recognize who we are. As Jacob, he says, what's your name? And he says, it's Jacob. And so I think in that instance, though I believe that earlier when he saw God and he saw the place of heaven where he says, surely God is in this place, and he calls it Bethel. I believe that was the change that caused him to become who he was. And that he began to live a life that was of integrity and honor. But I think here, when he says his name, when he knows this is more than just a man in whom he's wrestling with, when he says his name, he's recognizing who he is. It's a recognition of who he is and what God has done for him. He's like, I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I took from my family, from my own brother, the possessions that he was owed and the blessing that was supposed to be due to him by right. I took that. I'm the usurper. I'm the one who grabs at the heel to try and overtake. I deceive. And he says, your name is changed. It's Israel. For you strove with man and with God, and you have overcome. And so that overcoming, man, he says, look, you strove with man and you strove with God, but you are still here. You are still here, Israel. He's like, man, that's the thing I was talking about earlier when he recognized that he is blessed. It's because he's been tussling with Esau, his brothers, with Laban. And what has he come out with on top, man? God has blessed him. He has been doing either wrong or has been dealt with wrongly, yet he is still overcoming. You know, it's like, bro, how come he gets good when he's doing bad? Or, man, dude, this brother, he's finally doing good and everything bad is happening to him, yet he is overcoming. God is still blessing him. God is still giving him all the things that he has promised him. And so I think another thing also is that as a man, we should not let go of God. Hold on tight. Man, hold on tight. Hold on tight. Don't ever let go, because it's a struggle in this life. Whether you've striving with others, or whether others have been contending with you, hold on and let every aspect of God, or let every aspect of your own self, be held in the hands of God. So how do we apply this truth to our lives, man? Well, hold on to God for dear life. That's what you got to do. But second, the way that we do this is with everything. We give him all aspects of our lives. And so it may take us wrestling with God, striving with God, holding on with God, to God with dear life, like a child holds on to his father's leg as he's walking through the door to go to work. It's going to be that way. And when we do that, when we hold on and we just hang on for dear life, that means we're giving him everything. And when we give him everything, then we make him responsible for the promises that he's promised us. We make him responsible, and we trust that he's going to do what he says to do. You see, because after this, we're going to find that Jacob's going to go, and he's going to do what he has to do to take care of his family. He's not going to stay back and hide and shrink away anymore. Matter of fact, it says that he meets them before his family. He meets Esau before his family does. So that means that maybe he took off and ran ahead just to be able to do that. Because now he is fully convinced and trusting in Yahweh. Because it's no longer, I think he often says, the God of my father, Abraham, and the God of my father, Isaac. Now it's his God. He says, and I believe in one of the instances, he says, and I will, you will be a God to me. And we were conflicted on understanding if that says, if you are a God to me, or I will, or you will become a God to me. Either way, and in both cases, this is it. It's God is proving himself to be a God to Jacob. But also Jacob is committing himself to having God be his God. And so today, we went a little long, but I think it's awesome because I want us to realize that we today make the decision to allow God to be our God. Or recognize that God is God and he's in control of our lives. So let us submit to him in everything. So submit to God in everything. Love you guys. And we will see you in the next episode, man.